The drizzle started at 4, right on schedule. I was at a capitium in Bandar Lama, nursing a tetark the size of my head, when the rain came down in sheets, hammering the tin roof like it was trying to get in. The coffee shop owner, a man who looked like he'd been here since the railway was the only road, just shrugged. "Musim panis," he said, as if that explained everything. In August, the interior gets a dry window, but dry doesn't mean no rain. It means the rain comes and goes, and you plan around it. My plan for today was simple, a day trip to Gunung Stong State Park, about an hour and a half up the road toward Dabong, to see Jelawang Waterfall, which is either the tallest or second tallest waterfall in Malaysia, depending on who you ask and how they measure. I'd booked a spot through my guest house the night before, about RM140 for a shared van and a guide, roughly $30, which felt reasonable. The van was supposed to leave at 8, but the rain had other ideas. By 7:30, it had eased to a light drizzle, and the driver, a young Malay man named Azrul, decided we'd go for it. We drove out of Bandar Lama, past the railway station with its sleepy platform vendors, and onto Route 8, the road that cuts through the heart of Kelantan. The rain had washed the air clean, and the limestone karsts rose out of the morning mist like ghosts. Azrul pointed out a sign for Kampung Pulau Setalu. "You heard about the elephant?" he asked. I hadn't. He told me the story. Apparently, a wild male elephant they call a Wang Tar Setalu had been raiding orchards and approaching homes in that Kampung for years. For Hilton, the wildlife department finally captured and relocated him a week ago, bringing relief to over 1,000 residents. "He was a durian thief," Azrul said, grinning. "Just like you." I laughed, but I made a mental note to check that story later. It sounded too neat to be true, but the image of a giant elephant sneaking into an orchard at night, looking for Musang King, was too good to forget. The road to Gunung Stong is a river of asphalt that curls around the mountain, past small settlements and oil palm plantations that give way to secondary jungle. We passed a sign for Persimpangan Bendahara, the new gateway landmark with 10 marble stones inscribed with Quranic verses carved from local Kampung star marble. Azrul slowed down so I could see it. It was striking, the white marble against the green, and I thought about how even a traffic junction here gets treated with a kind of reverence. We reached the park entrance at about 9. Gunung Stong State Park is not as famous as Taman Negara, and the entry fee was modest, about RM10 for Malaysians, RM20 for foreigners. I paid the latter, around $4. The trail to Jelawang Waterfall is not a gentle stroll. It's a 2-hour hike through muddy jungle, over roots and rocks, with a few steep sections that have ropes bolted into the limestone. The sound of the waterfall grows as you approach, first a distant hiss, then a roar that vibrates in your chest. When I finally saw it, I understood why people make the trek. Jelawang drops about 300 meters, that's nearly 1,000 feet, off a sheer cliff, and the water breaks into mist before it hits the pool below. I stood there, drenched in spray, and felt very small. The guide, a wiry Orang Asli man named Pak Nga, who had been leading trips up this mountain for 20 years, pointed out plants as we walked back. A tree bark that cures fever, a vine that yields drinking water, a leaf that, when crushed, smells exactly like lemongrass. He told me the mountain is sacred to the Timir people who believe the spirits of their ancestors guard the summit. I asked him if he believed that. He looked at me steadily and said, "I believe what my grandfather believed. It's not about the spirits being real or not. It's about respect. You take only what you need and you give thanks." I thought about that the whole ride back to town. Back in Gua Musang by early afternoon, the rain had stopped and the sun was pushing through the clouds, hot and heavy. I was starving. Azrul dropped me off at the edge of Bandar Baru, the modern commercial center across the river, and I walked past the Bank Islam branch at Wisma Sri Galas to find a place to eat. I settled on Selera Molek, a restaurant that looked like it had been there for decades. Fluorescent lights, laminated menus, and the smell of grilled fish and coconut. I ordered ayam persik, the Kelantanese grilled chicken in a rich coconut milk and turmeric sauce, and a plate of nasi caribou, the blue rice that gets its color from butterfly pea flowers. The whole meal cost about RM12, maybe $3, and I washed it down with a cold tetarik, sipping it slowly as the afternoon heat settled over the town like a blanket. After lunch, I walked across the river to Bandar Lama to visit Masjid Razali, the huge mosque named after Tengku Razali Hamza, the Umeno strongman who's represented Guam Yuzang in parliament for decades. The mosque is modeled on Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and it's vast, with a black and gold dome that dominates the skyline. I slipped off my shoes and sat at the back, listening to the afternoon call to prayer echo through the marble courtyard. A man in a sarong, who turned out to be the mosque's caretaker, told me the mosque can hold thousands of worshippers, which seems impossible for a town of 20,000. But Guam Yuzang is a district town, he said, and the mosque serves all of Ulu Kelantan. From the mosque, it was a short ride to the Bamboo Mosque, which sits on the road toward Kuala Krai, near Muse Eco Park. The mosque is exactly what it says. It's built entirely from bamboo, with a soaring roof and intricate latticework, and it's a rest stop for travelers, with a small pond and a row of food stalls. I sat for a while under the eaves, watching the light filter through the bamboo slats, and thought about how something so simple, a building made of a plant that grows everywhere, could feel so deeply rooted in this place. I had one more thing to do before the day ended. Muse Eco Park. It's an adventure base sitting right below the limestone hill that the town is named after, Bukit Guam Yuzang. The hill is 105 meters tall, with a cave running straight through it, and the Eco Park has a Via Ferrata, a climbing route with steel cables and ladders that takes you up the cliff face. The guy at the counter, a young Malay man with a friendly grin, said he could take me up in 20 minutes. The price was about RM80, around $18, which included the guide and the safety gear. I said yes before I could second-guess myself. The Via Ferrata is not for the faint-hearted. You clip your harness to the cable and climb a series of iron rungs bolted into the limestone, with the town spread out below you. Halfway up, I paused to catch my breath and looked across at the hills, the green rolling into the hazy distance, and I heard a rustling in the trees below. A troop of dusky langurs, gray monkeys with white eye patches, was watching me from the branches, chattering as if they were critiquing my technique. I laughed, which nearly cost me my grip on the rock. At the top, the view was everything. The roofs of Bandar Lama and Bandar Baru, the railway track snaking south, the river glinting in the late afternoon sun. The guide pointed out the entrance to the cave at the base of the hill. Guam Yuzang means civet cat cave, he said, named for the civet cats that used to live there. He told me there are still bats in the deeper chambers and that the cave runs all the way through the hill from one side to the other. I didn't go in, the sun was dropping, and I had dinner plans. For dinner, I walked to a small restaurant near the station called Yuen Ling Restaurant, a Chinese capitium that's been there since the railway days. I ordered a plate of char kway teo and a glass of barley water, and I watched the evening traffic, motorbikes and old proton cars, families heading home from the market, a group of school kids in blue uniforms laughing at a bus stop. The rain had cooled the air, and the smell of fried garlic drifted through the open front. The meal cost about RM15, roughly $3. As I paid, I thought about this town. It's small, about 20,000 people, and it gets by on timber, oil palm, marble, and increasingly durian. The Yuzang King that everyone in Kuala Lumpur pays a fortune for? This is where it was named. The district is Guam Yuzang, and the King of Durians is Yuzang King. It's not a coincidence. The orchards are all around us, hidden in the valleys, and the elephants know it, and the tourists are starting to figure it out. I walked back to my guest house along the main road, past the 61 Hotel and the Hotel Phoenix, past the Maybank branch on Jalan Percheron Raya, and the bank's neon sign buzzed against the darkening sky. The night air hummed with cicadas, and I could smell the durian from a stall a block away, that sweet, pungent, unforgettable smell. Tomorrow, the plan is to visit the Felda settlement at Chiku and maybe the Lojing Highlands, but tonight, I'm just glad I said yes to the Via Ferrata. You come to a place like Guam Yuzang for the waterfall and the train, and you stay for the langurs and the bamboo mosque and the way the light hits the limestone at dusk. I closed my eyes, and for a moment, I heard the waterfall in my head, roaring and constant, and I thought about what Pakanga said about respect. Take only what you need and give thanks. I think I'm doing that. The room was quiet, and the only sound was the gecko on the wall. ticking like a clock. Selamat Datang, I thought, to a place that is still teaching me how to listen. That's the episode. If you're thinking about the East Coast, this is the season to come, late August, before the monsoon shuts everything down. Guam Yuzang is a good base, and the hotel rates are friendly. You can get a room for around RM70 to RM140 a night, which is a bargain compared to KL. Next time, we'll head further south, toward the coast. But the jungle's not done with me yet.